This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
And the Norris Trophy goes to Mark Giordano.
Jerome McGinley's mom, 500 goals.
Up at center, coming in as home. Hildenike center net.
Murray gets it again. That's the shot. Murray scores!
Big save, Dave. Do we have a number one goalie in Calgary? Welcome to the Flames Unfiltered, episode number 3, recorded on October 6, 2019. And the bad news for opening nights continues in Calgary. We did it, guys. 10 in a row. 10 straight years where we've lost in opening night. That's a streak that, I don't know, ranks right up there with the Anaheim losses at the pond in Anaheim, which is done now. We don't need to talk about that anymore, but this streak ranks right up there. On the bright side, though, the Flames are 11-4-2 in game twos of the season, and last night they brought that from 10 wins to 11 wins with a great win at the Saddle Dome, and it was good to see the Saddle Dome rocking again. The Flames scoring some goals, and most importantly, shutting out the rival Canucks. It's great to have hockey back. It's fun to actually talk about games that have actually taken place, because this is our first episode where we've actually had to or have been able to talk about games that are happening instead of rehashing and going over what we think is going to happen. It's fun to speculate. It's fun to predict. Whew, it's a lot more fun to talk about things that have happened already. Flames 1-1 after two games on the weekend. Game on opening night, Thursday night, and followed up with a big win Saturday night at home at the Saddle Dome. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood, from Inside Edge Hockey News. We hope you enjoy the show. Let's talk Flames hockey.
InsideEdgeHockeyNews.com.
Time to talk opening night for the Flames. And boy, I don't know, didn't go that great. Some people were freaking out a little bit more than they probably should have been, because I didn't think it was that bad. The 2019-2020 season started on Thursday night, the 40th season for the Flames in Calgary, which is pretty fun to celebrate this year. And great logo at center ice. I think it looks good. I don't know. I like these kind of years where you can celebrate. I love it. They're using the old red retro jerseys, and can't wait to see the white retros we get blessed with in Regina against Winnipeg for the Heritage Classic here in just 3 weeks away, and that's going to come up on us pretty darn quick. So let's talk opening night. Pepsi Arena or Pepsi Center in Colorado, and the Calgary Flames lose. That is 10 straight opening night losses. They fall 5-3, an empty netter, so a good game. Colorado did outshoot the Flames 32-30. Calgary got in a little bit of penalty trouble early on, and it just really, in the first period, you just couldn't get a flow going. Just really couldn't get into the game right away. As the game went on, obviously the flow came back. Pretty back and forth game. I thought it was a pretty darn good game. I thought Calgary had its moments where they were not very good and were pretty darn sloppy, but I also thought they had some moments where they held play pretty well. And Colorado just proved to me what they did last year in the playoffs. This is a good hockey team. Colorado is going to be a contender for the Cup this year. I have no doubt about it. I thought the Flames had a little bit tougher time containing McKinnon and Rantanen early as the game went on in the third, honestly. I didn't even notice them as much as I did earlier in the game. So that's always a good sign. Some Calgary Flames had some really good nights. I four guys that I wrote down as really positive nights, and that first one is Noah Hanifin. The second one is a trio of guys. I thought the first line was good. For them to jump out in night one and look good was pretty important. In years past, the Flames have not only struggled out of the gate, but they've also struggled getting that first line going. And I thought Lindholm, Gaudreau, and Monahan were really good for a first night, and that was fun to see. Big save Dave gets a loss, allows four goals. I'm not pinning this one on him at all. I thought he was very good. He made some big saves in the first period that actually kept the Flames in this. I thought it could have got ugly early, and Riddick stood tall there. His stats don't look great for night one, but I thought he was good. My other guy that I wrote down as having a really, really good night was Oliver Shillington. Now, he was my player to watch because I actually, and I'll admit when I'm wrong, I hit him out of the lineup and I had Michael Stone in because I was worried about the speed of McKinnon Ratanen and the Colorado Avalanche and how Shillington would handle that being a young defenseman nervous on opening night. It's not his first game. He did play 32, I think, games last year. But I was a little bit worried about having, I guess, two young defensemen as a pairing on that third group. And I look like a fool because Oliver Shillington was really, really good. I thought he was one of our better defensemen, to be honest with you. Giordano, great night. You know, it's pretty sad. You almost forget when you put a list of positive players, it's pretty sad. You almost leave him out because we just come to expect him to be that guy that we depend on every single night to have a good night. And on his birthday, he did have a really, really good night. A really good goal and very good night from the captain, Giordano. On the negative, I was not happy with the play of Michael Frolik in night one. Very lackluster play. I also thought Jankowski was a disappearing act. I watch this guy every year and I think, God, this guy just has such good size and it looks like he's just got all the tools to just excel. And he just doesn't. He just doesn't. I also thought Michael Backlund was not good. And I know he's dealing with injury, and quite honestly, I almost wish they would have just sat him out because he did not look ready to play. He just wasn't the Michael Backlund that we are used to seeing. Calgary falls 5-3 in Colorado. Two nights later, they're back at home for their home opener last night at the Saddle Dome in Calgary. And what can you say? Perfect, perfect night. I thought Calgary was very, very good. Vancouver outplayed them terribly in the third period, but Calgary comes away with a 3-0 win. David Riddick with his second career shutout. Shots 34-30 in favor of Vancouver, actually. They came on strong in the third period with quite a few shots. Calgary battled penalties again in this one and probably took a couple too many here early in the game. Were able to fight through it and kill all of them off. The penalty kill was really good for the Flames last night. Vancouver has taken three. One thing in Vancouver was kind of funny. They took three too many men on the ice penalties in their first two games. That's bad. That's not good at all. And the Flames took advantage on one of them. Pretty even first period. Calgary took over in the second. And Vancouver, I thought, really dominated in that third period. Again, the penalty kill was good. And even better, David Riddick, second career shutout, stops all 34 Vancouver Canucks shots. And boy, was there a couple big-time ones. There was a couple chances that he had in the slot where he came up with big glove saves. And he was really, really fun to watch and was really on the top of his game. As for positive players on Saturday night, I thought the first line was also good again. Gaudreau scores, Lindholm scores. Very good. I mean, great, great performance by them. Hamonic was a gamer, boy. That guy blocks a shot, can hardly finish the kill, and then stands up for a teammate at the end of it as he's going off hobbling on one leg. I don't know. It's probably why he's my favorite Flame right now. He is a gamer every night and a true, true team player. I thought Hannafin was going to get good again last night. That pairing is just rock solid. And I think they're going to have another great year. Last year, that pairing really broke out. And it's fun. It's fun seeing them succeed and excel together. On a bad side, I thought Frolik was better, but not good enough. As he got shuffled down to the fourth line, and I don't know. The other guy, I talked about him in the last show, is going to get, it's going to be the whipping boy this year, and I was hoping he wasn't going to be, but man, Jankowski just was a no-show again, I thought. Had a couple good chances early, and then just, I don't know, he just fades away, and I just get so frustrated because I feel like he's got the potential, but we'll see. I'm not going to get on his case. Hopefully he can play through this rough stretch. And, prove me wrong, just like Oliver Shillington did in game one. And also, I thought Anderson, Shillington were really good again last night. I think we got our six in Calgary. I think Stone will fill in as we go, but I think we got our six, and I'm happy with them. I think they definitely did their job. Calgary gets away, 3-0 win, 1-1 to start the season. Tuesday night, they take on the Los Angeles Kings. Everybody think that should be easy because the Kings are struggling. But you know what? I think it'll be a battle. It'll be interesting to see who we see in net for that one. But I'm not going to argue with a 1-1 or a record of 1-1-0 to start the season, especially getting a shutout over Vancouver. It was really nice to see on Saturday.
Every team, everywhere. The Hockey Podcast Network.
Let's talk a little Milan Lucic. He was definitely the hot topic in the offseason. And I'm not going to lie, I freaked out when I saw that they had signed him. I was very, 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 very frustrated. But, I told myself I'm going to do everything in my power to give him the benefit of the doubt and work through this. In game one, he played 13:46 for ice time. In game one, he played 8:38. In Colorado. I thought he was fairly effective that night. And here's why. And not just because he had 17 penalty minutes, but Austin Zarnik gets, Zadorov runs Zarnik into the boards. I know Zarnik did turn at the last minute. So all you guys, if there's any Colorado fans listening, which we appreciate you listening to the show, but yes, Zarnik did turn. I will admit that. But Zadorov doesn't let up. But you know what? It really makes me mad. And he made me mad in the playoffs last year too. Zadorov never stands up and is a man. Soon as he hits it, Lucic comes in, which I loved. It's exactly what we've been missing in Calgary. Comes in, gives Zadorov a shot, gives him a punch to the face. And I'm not kidding. I don't want to have a goon on our team, but this will deter some of this silly crap this year. It really, really will. Lucic gets an instigator. 17 minutes in penalties. He is -1 in game one. Last night against Vancouver on Saturday night, he plays 13:46. He did see some power play time, but last night, I don't know. I thought he was a little bit more non-effective, I guess would be a good word. Didn't stand out to me. I didn't dislike his play, but he definitely does look slow out there. I don't know how he's going to change that. It's just, he's not going to miraculously get fast or anything. So, that is going to be a limitation of his. But now expectations on Lucic. Is he going to get back to a 20-goal scorer that he was in Boston? No. What are we thinking? Like, we didn't get him for that reason. We traded James Neal to Edmonton because we didn't want Neal. Neal did nothing last year. Didn't even look like he was trying. And you know what? I don't think the relationship with Coach Peters was good either. So that's not going to just miraculously improve over the summer. So you might as well cut bait. And you know what? If Milan Lucic was all you're going to get for him, then so be it. Lucic brings something that the Flames really, really, really missed last year. We missed toughness in the playoffs. We got used and abused, and it was embarrassing. We can't have that happen again this year. We need to build this team for the playoffs. That's what matters. A first-round exit's not going to go over with me. It's not going to go over with the rest of Calgary fans. It's just not. This is a good, good hockey team, and we expect more than a first-round exit. So now, what are we looking as Lucic? Is he an enforcer? No. I'm not going to use the word enforcer because I don't think Milan Lucic is just going to get thrown out there to start fights. First of all, nobody in the league wants to fight him. So he only gets into a few fights a year. I think he was only in four last year. But what he is he's a deterrer. He's going to deter some of the BS that we see happen on a nightly basis in Calgary. I'm tired of watching Gaudreau get slashed. Lindholm get slashed. I'm also, on a side note, tired of Gaudreau bitching about it all the time, too. That frustrates me really, really bad. He needs to man up and play through a little bit of it. But that being said, now we have Lucic standing there staring at the guy that just gave Gaudreau a shot or someone that got in our goalie's face. We have a protection factor. We have a deter. We need that in Calgary. Tkachuk, on After Hours last night, spoke about Lucic. And one of the things I thought was really, really cool was that he talked about Lucic off the ice and on the ice and what he is to the Flames. He stated he's a great teammate. And he also made a statement that really, really, really shows the importance of Lucic. He said that he's a very important to the Flames team. The players saw what happened last year. They heard it. They know that they weren't tough enough in the playoffs last year. And if bringing in Milan Lucic is what had to happen for the Flames to get better, then that's what had to happen. Now, I don't expect Lucic to go out there and save the world, and I hope the Flames fans don't. We're going to have times this year where we're going to be very, very, very upset with Lucic. But if he stays within his limitations and plays the way he did in Colorado, we're going to be okay. It's a $5.25 million cap hit. We all know that's way, 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 way too much. But expectations are low. If he's a good team player and Matthew Tkachuk thinks that he's an important part to the Flames, that's enough for me.
Inside Edge Hockey News, faking the slapper and going top shelf.
Big save, Dave. Saturday night, David Rittich, second career shutout. Boy, was he on. 3 or 4, 10 bellers, a 34 save shutout against rival Vancouver. We talked about in the last episode about goaltending in Calgary going to be one of the touchy subjects this year. And what do we expect? I mean, what do we expect? Who do we expect to emerge? Is Cam Talbot going to be the starter? Is David Rittich going to be the starter? I told you my thoughts. I want Rittich to take over, and I want Cam Talbot to be a strong, strong backup, because in this league, you need a 1A, 1B. And I think in Calgary, we have that. And only time will tell. We're going to see if Talbot gets in on Tuesday night at home against LA, and I think he will, because the next game, then Calgary goes to Dallas, and then on to Vegas Saturday night. And then that's a back-to-back Vegas-San Jose on Sunday night. So we're going to see Rittich and Talbot both get some time that night. But I think that Rittich is going to push the 60-game mark. And I really hope in Talbot's first game that he's strong. I want him to shut up the naysayers. We need a strong tandem. Rittich kind of had a slow start on Thursday night in the season opener loss to the Avalanche. The Czech net Miners' second career shutout came on Saturday night. 2.02 goals against average. After the shutout, he had a 9.38 save percentage in the two games. You know, he kind of got, I don't know, he didn't get ripped in the media after the season opener loss, but I mean, I don't know. I didn't hear anybody really talking that he was excellent, but I didn't think he was that bad. I thought he made a couple big saves that night, and his stats were 0.871 after that first night, which isn't great, but he was seeing some shots on Thursday night that he sure wasn't seeing on Saturday night. But also on Saturday night, he made two big glove saves in the slot that were 10 bellers that I still can't believe that he got. One of the things that I think is going to be great with Rittich this year is that he's, like Lucic was praised by Tkachuk, Rittich is loved by the players. He's a great team player. He's a funny guy. He's hilarious. There's never a dull moment when he's in the room. And that goes a long way in the locker room. Players want to play hard for him. it's going to be fun to see what happens with this. I think Riddick is going to show that he is a bona fide number one goalie in this league, and it'll be fun to see how he develops as the year goes. And it'll also be fun to see Talbot get some ice time, and hopefully we'll see that on Tuesday night. And hopefully he can get a win right out of the gate, and then we'll be off and rolling. In some other Flames news, Brad Treliving signs a multi-year extension. He's in his sixth year this year as general manager of the Calgary Flames, and I'm really, really glad they got this done. I did not want him to go late into the summer like he did last time. He needed an extension. I think that put stress on the team, put stress on the general manager that did not need to happen. And I'm glad they got it wrapped up, even though it was on the opening night, which was a little bit weird timing, but heck, we'll take it. I'm glad Brad Treliving's back. I think he's made some really good moves. Yeah, people are going to criticize him for the Neil signing, and you know he'd probably say that was his worst move. But hey, you know what? That had a 50-50 shot. I mean, that could have went great too, and we could be loving James Neal right now and praising Brad Treliving for that signing. You got to, you know, take some chances too to be successful. And Treliving's done a really, really good job in Calgary. And what was really fun was that after this signing, there wasn't a lot of negative media. No one was ripping on him. No one was ripping the signing. It was all over social media that afternoon trying to look for some negative things, and I didn't see it. And that was really, really, really good to see.
Every team, everywhere, the Hockey Podcast Network.
Let's start a new section of the show that we're going to do on every one of our Monday shows, and that's called Harvey's Doghouse. And that's when I pick a player for the week that kind of hit the struggle bus. A player that didn't play as good as they should have. A player that, I don't know, made me mad when I was watching the games. After two games, Michael Frolik is who has upset me the most. I thought he was horrible on Thursday night. Better on Saturday night, but he got demoted to the fourth line on Saturday night, played with Frolik, with Jankowski and Reeder. That line just didn't do much. Wasn't a lot of situations where I was like, wow, they're horrible defensively or anything like that, which you're not going to get that from Frolik. That's one thing, you know, I will praise him is, you know, I can get mad at him and I can freak out on him like I have early in the season, but he's not that guy that's going to have a lot of turnovers that are going to frustrate you. But Michael Frolik is the very first recipient of the Harvey's Doghouse. We will have that on every Monday show. I don't want to talk about negative stuff too much, but I don't know. Every fan has their guy that's bugging them. And I want to tell you who mine is. Let's go on to a fan question. This one comes from TJ Killian. And his question is, I don't know, I chuckled when I saw this. I actually started laughing. So I'm like, that's going to be my fan question because it was pretty funny. His question is, will you be following James Neal this season? I probably will. Should I be? No, probably not. But I will, just because that one will take a while to get over for me. Doesn't matter, though, really, how James Neal does. Does it really matter? I don't think Edmonton's making the playoffs. I don't think if James Neal scores 35, I don't think Edmonton makes the playoffs. It'll probably help him get closer to making the playoffs, but I still don't think they will. Well, let's face facts. He did not produce in Calgary. And that's done. That's in the past. Does it matter anymore? No. It doesn't matter. Does it matter what he does in Edmonton? Not unless it's against Calgary. He had two on Saturday night. He actually should have had three, but he elected to pass on an open net at the end of the game and then ended up not going in. Let's face it, James Neal can be a good hockey player in the National Hockey League. He's proven it. He's been a 20-goal scorer every year except for last year. And in the right situation, the guy's a good hockey player. But he didn't produce in Calgary. And some people can say, you know, that Peters didn't put him in the right position to succeed. But you know what? Every time that he was put up on a line with Monahan and Gaudreau, he did nothing. So how long are you supposed to keep a guy like Lindholm, who was producing left and right for you, off that line because you want to experiment with James Neal, who's stinking it up. I was over James Neal by Christmas. And having him gone doesn't bother me. But you know what? To answer your question, TJ, I'll probably be following him. Just because I'm curious. I'm curious to see how he does. Let's roll on to game previews. One game between now and the next episode. And that is Tuesday night, October 8th, when the Los Angeles Kings come to the Scotiabank Saddle Dome to take on the 1-1 Calgary Flames. The Kings are coming off a wild one on Saturday night where they lost in Edmonton 6-5, a barrage of goals. Edmonton had, it was just a wild game. I mean, it was a game that was evenly played. It was sloppy both ways. I'm sure both coaches took the film and threw it in the trash today because there was nothing good to show on it. It was the Kings' first game on Saturday night, so when they come to Calgary, it'll be only their second game of the season. And only Calgary's third, though, so not a big difference there. We'll see if Jonathan Quick gets the start in game two after allowing six. I don't know if he will. I don't think Jonathan Quick will be the starter in L.A. at the end of the year, whether he gets traded or they just, I don't know, move away from him. I don't know what'll happen there. That'll be interesting, but he can be a top-notch goalie, but has dealt with a lot of injuries and a lot of struggles over the past few years. Tuesday night players to watch. Anze Kopitar had a great night on Saturday night with a goal, two assists. I'll be keeping my eye on him. He's one of those guys that kind of fell off the radar last year and struggled as much as the team did last year. But Kopitar has been a top-notch superstar in the National Hockey League. Fun player to watch, great goal scorer. And hopefully, just not on Tuesday night, but hopefully he'll get back and have a great year. But he'll be my guy to watch on Tuesday night. For Calgary, my guy to watch is Andrew Mangiapane. Now, he moved up to that second line and played with Backlund and Tkachuk for the third period on Saturday night. I'm interested to see if he's on that line come Tuesday. We'll know more Monday morning at practice. But I liked Mangiapane's play on Saturday night. Now, on Thursday night, I thought he was kind of a no-show, to be honest with you, but I thought he looked really good on Saturday night. Created some plays, had a really good scoring chance. I believe it was in the second on a point-blank shot. I liked what he did, and he's my guy to watch on Tuesday night. Now, another thing I'll be watching on Tuesday night, and Matthew Tkachuk set it up very, very well last night on After Hours. Don't forget to watch him and his best friend, Drew Doughty. Tuesday night, the Kings come to town. Hopefully another 2 points for the Calgary Flames. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah!
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
Flames bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there. Over at the penalty box, Jim Poplitsky and Tim Hunter not dressed tonight and going down McKinnis. They've got their sweats on and the Calgary Flames have won the Stanley Cup! We're the winners! We're the winners! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.